Let me give you just a few things, and I won't keep you long tonight. You kind of get in no man's land sometimes. You've testified too much to preach. You'll preach an hour, and you're through in 15, 20 minutes, or people listening to you is through. And we ain't stayed long enough to close it out. But I want to go to Psalm chapter number 80 and try to just give you a few things the Lord put on my heart, or I think it, the Lord put it on my heart anyway. Psalms chapter 80, it says to the my little subtitle or whatever you want to call it, to the chief musician upon, I can't pronounce them two words, Shoshanim, Edith, a psalm of Asaph. And it says this, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Now here's the burden of the psalmist's heart. Some folks might call this the chorus of the song. That's what a psalm is a chorus, is a song. They might say this is the chorus because we hear it, we see it three times. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And then he starts again, O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors and our enemies' life among us. Then he goes back to this reoccurring phrase, turn us again. But this time he doesn't just say, O God. I want you to notice he adds to God. Turn us again, O God of hosts. That word of hosts speaks of armies. O God of hosts. And cause thy face to shine. We shall be saved. Now, I think the next several verses gives us the setting of this. Now, I know Asaph lived in the time of David, and I suspect that this has a spirit of prophecy about it. Asaph is seeing this down the road, is the way I see it anyway. And he says this to the Lord, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. That'd be Israel. Israel is a vine up to the rejection of Christ, and they become a fig tree during the Gentile age, and there'll be an olive tree in the millennial reign. If you want to just kind of keep that in mind as you read about the fig trees and the olive trees and the vine trees, and it's just a good little type for you to keep in mind there. And he says this, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. I think that's speaking about Israel coming out of Egypt, being planted in Canaan. Notice what it says in verse 9, thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Now keep in mind, he started out, he said, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. So he's talking about a flock. But now he's talking about a vine. And he's still talking about Israel. And I want you to notice how it comes together here. That verse 9 again, thou preparest room before it, and this caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the sea, and her branches unto the river. But then it's as if something changed. I want you to notice what the psalmist says next. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, And the wild beast of the field doth devour it. And many think that this is a psalm that was written after the northern king, after Israel. Let me just say it that way. After Israel, the 10 tribes were carried into captivity. Or Asaph is seeing this prophetically and writing this psalm. And so here's Israel. Here's the point I'm trying to get. This is a dark day. When this psalm is written, the enemy's already came. It's already, the nation has been, the boar out of the wood is already, out of the woods has already wasted the nation. The wild animals, so to speak, of the Gentile age, they've already wasted this vine that's been planted. The boar, verse 13, out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. And here's what the psalmist said, "Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man." Here we see a man. "Let thy hand be upon the man, thy right hand upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name." And here's the chorus again, if you want to call it that, or the theme, the burden of the psalmist, what was really on his heart. And he said this, "Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved." Cause thy face to shine. And so I started thinking about this. What do you do when everything's hopeless? What's the answer when everything's hopeless? Could I just say this in my mind, in my flesh, and in my mind? America's almost in a hopeless situation. I mean, we've killed babies for five decades, I guess it is. Was it 1973 when we started murdering innocent blood? That's 27 and 14. That's 41 years, four decades. We've been killed. We've been shedding innocent blood. God can't overlook innocent blood. He never has. He never will. We rear back and we think we're getting by. We're escaping. But can I tell you, God's keeping the record. If I'm not mistaken, I believe I read somewhere where we killed more babies than Hitler killed people during the Holocaust. And we throw off on Hitler and say, "Boy, I'd hate to be in Hitler's shoes. I'd hate to be in some of them abortion doctor's shoes," to be honest with you. Now we've taken on the sodomites, and we're putting our endorsement on them, and we're just shaking our fist in the face of God. It really looks hopeless. What do? We grumble and we complain, and we worry over it. But what do you do when things are hopeless? That's where this writer was. The vine has already been uprooted. The boars come out of the woods and wasted the vine. Do you just give up? Do you just throw your hands up and say, "Hey, it's all over. Hey, I'm just going to crawl in the hole and hope nobody finds me till I leave this life"? Is that the answer? Do we pray this, "Lord, please destroy our enemies"? You don't see that in this passage. You would think that would be the prayer, "Lord, save us from our enemies. I'm just going to talk to you for a little while. I'm not going to preach to you tonight, don't guess, but you would think that. You could probably come up in your mind what you ought to say. I'd be begging God to do something toward my adversary instead of toward me. But not the psalmist. You see, the psalmist realized this, that help would come when God did a work in God's people's lives. I'm right back where I started this morning. I'm right back there. But there were some truths that the psalmist said. And I just want to start looking at a few of these for a few minutes. He said this, give ear. He didn't say raise your hand. He didn't say, and he will a little later, he'll say come to us. But he didn't say strike down from heaven. But here's what he said, give ear. Give ear. Here's what he said we need to do when things are hopeless and past helping. He said we need to ask God to hear our prayers. We need God to hear us. We need a God that will hear and answer and move in our prayers. It's as if God's not been answering in the prayer. Not been moving in the prayer. It's as if the heavens are silent and things are going into hopelessness. And he says this, oh God, give ear. Give ear. My, isn't that what we need today? Don't we need a God that will hear us when we cry? Here's what he said. Give ear. The first thing he thought needed to be done in this hopeless situation is for God and His people to be conversant. For God and His people to be in a state of fellowship. A state of togetherness. A state where there was a hearing and a talking and a interaction. And my, can I say to you today, that's what we need. We need that. I'm going to say this. I probably don't have a right to. Probably can't back it up. But I wonder if one prayer out of 10 actually gets past the ceiling sometimes. I'm just asking. I'm just throwing that out there. I just wonder. Just wonder if we've got enough God, enough of whatever it is we need to get a prayer through. Here's what the psalmist said, give ear. And then he said this. You might have thought he'd say, give ear, O mighty one. Give ear, O head of the army. Give ear, O fortress. Give ear, O shield and O buckler. I want you to notice what he said. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. Aren't you glad we have a shepherd? I want to go to Psalm 23 and start telling you about the shepherd. I may just do it. You know what Psalm 23 says? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. We have a shepherd. John 10 tells us we still have a shepherd today. Now we may be the other sheep of another flock that he's talking about over there. With the Gentiles, I understand that. We still got a shepherd. I start thinking about that shepherd. Do you realize there's one watching over you? I mean, when you feel all alone, the devil gets on your shoulder and tells you it's hopeless. They ain't nowhere you can go. There ain't nothing you can do to help this situation. Can I tell you, there's a shepherd that's looking on the flock. Well, hallelujah. Aren't you glad we've got a shepherd looking on the flock? I'm glad he knows my name, and when he speaks, I know his voice. Oh my, it looks hopeless. They've been carried off, but here this psalmist said this, give ear, O shepherd. Well, let me just read what the shepherd does. He makes his flock lie down in green pastures. Aren't you glad we've got one that knows how to feed us? He leads us beside the still waters. He restores our soul. You hearing what I'm saying? That's one that can restore us. When you cast down, you can't pick your head up. He lifts your head up. Amen. Hallelujah for that. I told you my little story one Saturday evening after I started pastoring his church. I prayed in my bathroom, Brother Bud, much like it sounds like maybe you do. I go in my little bathroom off the bedroom, pray. But I just went far as I could go. I was just ready to quit. About 2 or 3 o'clock in the evening, I just went in there and got on my knees. I just said, Lord, I cannot go on. Can't go anymore. Went as far as I could go. I guess I was in there 20, 30 minutes. I don't know, but that's the gist of my burden in the prayer. And somewhere between the time I went in and come out, God revitalized me. Man, I was ready to go again. I come out there stepping high. What was it? It was a God that restored me and strengthened me and encouraged me. It's a shepherd. He's our shepherd. He's overseeing you. You're out here doing whatever you're doing. I'm telling you, there's a shepherd watching over you and watching out for you tonight. My, that ought to help us when it seems hopeless. He restored. He leads in paths of righteousness. Oh, he said, I'll fear no evil. He helps us to be fearless. He accompanies and comforts us with his rod and his staff. We can go over there and read it. I'm just telling you, we don't have just any old shepherd. We have the shepherd. The chief shepherd. Yeah, amen. We have the chief shepherd. Hey, if we could pick a shepherd, we couldn't pick one any better than the one we already have. You've got the best shepherd. That's right. You've got the most powerful shepherd. You've got the richest shepherd. You've got the wisest shepherd. Hey, you couldn't get one any better if you handpicked it. Praise God. I'm thankful for that. And this fella's in this psalmist that wrote this little song here. Asaph, it says Psalm of Asaph. Now, I know them little titles may not be inspired, but I believe them to be so. He's saying this when he wrote this, and whether it's a spirit of prophecy or not, I don't know, but I suspect it is. As he looked at this, he said, here's what we need. We need that shepherd to hear us. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. My, then he started thinking back. You can see him looking in the past, and Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, I understand that, but sometimes it's good to look back in the past. I think you have to rightly divide what Paul was saying. There's some things I don't want to spend my time on in the past, but there's some things that will help you about the past. Hey, you know the devil's chased me to Mill Baptist Church June the 9th, 1969, more times than you can imagine. He's took me, but he can't take me past that spot. Because that's where I got in at, Brother Steve. He can chase me back to there. But when he gets there, buddy, I've got victory when he takes me there. That's right. Oh, I'm telling you tonight, we've got a shepherd. That's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. And we've got the best shepherd. And when things are hopeless, we need our shepherd to hear us. We don't need him to work on the enemy. We need him to work on us. When he works on us, it'll work on the enemy. That's how it works. So here's what he said. He said, give ear, old shepherd of Israel. Then he started thinking about the past. That's where I was at a while ago when I was talking about going back to when the Lord saved me. He said, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. I wrestled around with that Joseph for a little while, but I really believe that's talking about Israel when Joseph was taken care of. That's talking about Israel when it's down in Egypt. God looked out for them down there. And here's the dark time, and the children of Israel being carried away into Assyrian captivity, been rooted out of the land, the boars come out of the woods and destroyed the vine. But this fella, he's not give up because he remembers a time that is like this before. He remembers when it's hopeless before, and God sent a man named Moses down that way. God started sending the plagues on Pharaoh. And God let his children, as hopeless as it was, they didn't even have an army when they left Egypt. You hear what I'm saying? They didn't even have an army, but the God they served had an army. He's the God of hosts. That's what the Bible says. They didn't even have an army. God give them victory over great Pharaoh. And this fella's in a hopeless situation. And he looks back and said, if God done it before, God can do it again. I believe that. Amen. You do believe if God did it before, He can do it again. I'll take you one better than that. If God didn't do it before, God can do it again. He can do it the first time and He can do it again and again and again. Well, that's what he said. When it's hopeless, you see, he let his mind go back to a similar case when God did a work. He said, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Like a flock. There's that shepherd again over his flock. Thou that dwellest between the chariot books, shine forth. Now see, here's how God led them by a pillar of fire at night. He shined forth, Brother Buck. When the fire came up to travel, they traveled. When it set down, they sat down. Of course, it had a cloud of a day. But this is nighttime. They're in bondage now. They've been carried off. This is not day season. This is a night season. The old psalmist said, I remember back there in Egypt, when it's nighttime, God had shined forth. We just follow Him. Here's what He said. He said, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, there's the tabernacle, the holy of holies. He said, shine forth. He said, it's dark, but you shine back then, you can shine now. That's so, isn't it? I'm just trying to show you what we need to do. Hopeless times. Never hopeless with the Lord. Never hopeless. Let me say that again. It's never hopeless with the Lord on your side. Never hopeless. And then he said, before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, now you know Benjamin, that was Rachel's son, last son. Ephraim, Manasseh, that's her grandchildren by Joseph. And so we're speaking about Rachel. And we know Rachel by some. Jeremiah speaks of Rachel and kindly implies that Rachel's the mother of Israel. And he said before Ephraim, and by the way, these three tribes were the tribes that were behind the ark. Behind the Levites, and when they marched, you know they had an order, and these three tribes were behind. And he said, before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Here's what he's saying. It's hopeless, but you can still save us. Isn't that something? Can I tell you, we get saved at salvation, but we need saved over and over and over again from the things of this life. Do you know you'd be trapped up and you'd be ensnared by the devil if it wasn't for the Lord saving you out of his traps? Every time you see the word saved, it's not always talking about salvation. You need saved from, apathy. Unconcern. Lukewarmness. You need saved from those things. You can't save yourself. You say, preacher, I'm lukewarm. Preacher, I'm unconcerned. Well, make yourself concerned. Make yourself hot for God. Here's what you say. How do you do it, preacher? I don't know what to do. I'll tell you how you do it. You beg God to do a work in your life. He's the only one can do a heart work. You can't even do a heart work. Thanks God. Here He is. This psalmist, it's hopeless. They've done been carried into captivity. If I take you over there in Jeremiah, of course I know that was Judah. I believe it was Judah anyway, if I'm thinking right. They said this. The Lord said, you just come back to him. And they said, no way. There's no hope. If that's what we have to do, we're not turning back to the Lord. I mean, that's how ungodly these folks had become. But here's a fella in hopeless, dark times. He said, hear, O shepherd. Hear, O shepherd. And I remember when we was down there in Egypt, I remember what they taught us, how you brought them out and how you delivered them and how you stirred up your strength. And then in verse number 3, here's what he says. I've been up too long now, I guess, but let me give you verse 3. Turn us again, O God. Turn us again, O God. Boy, that says some things to me right there. And cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We shall be saved. Now, what do you see in that little old phrase there when you look at that? Turn us. That says to me they were going in the wrong direction. They need to be somewhere, started somewhere where they wasn't going. In fact, they're already in captivity and maybe getting deeper in idolatry all the time. I don't know. But and like I said, I suspect most everybody else said, hey, this is hopeless. The Assyrians have taken us over. We have no army. They're ungodly pagans, and our people are marrying them and worshiping their God. And this psalmist says this, here's the answer. And it lies with the shepherd, and he needs to hear us first. But then he needs to stir up his strength. And he needs to come, and he needs to save us. And then he says this, he needs to turn us again. Maybe like Egypt. He's thinking, in my mind, he's thinking about Egypt. Turn us again. Turn us back toward our home. Turn us back toward you. You know what that implies to me? They couldn't turn themselves. They couldn't turn themselves. It's going to take the Lord to change directions with them. Brother Ronnie said this, the Lord spoke personally to all of us. That's what's got to happen. If I could talk you into anything or any other preacher and talk you into anything, what good is it? Takes God. We need God. We need God's presence. We need God moving on hearts and lives and doing the work. And we need to refuse to accept anything less than God's hand at work in our midst. Oh my, here's what he said, turn us again. In other words, you turned us before. And what you need to do it again. And he said, oh God, and cause thy face to shine. I truly believe he's talking about the pillar of fire. There. I believe he's saying, Lord, you need not only to turn us, but you need to direct us and guide us. The Bible says a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord. Are your steps ordered by the Lord? Does He guide you? Can you say, God, this is Your day. And Lord, You order my steps. And You lead me where I ought to go. And You let me run into who I need to run into. And You give me a word in due season to help those in need. Oh God, order my steps. You pray like that. Oh my, here's what He's saying. Direct us, guide us. When we need to be still, help us to be still. Direct us to be still. When we need to move on and go forward, Father, guide us and direct us. He said, cause thy face to shine. And then He said this, and we shall be saved. Hey, they're in Assyrian captivity. There's no hope. But this psalmist has faith in God. Here's what he said. I don't care what they say. There's hope. Because we serve the true and the living God. And I want to tell you, I look around some of y'all's loved ones I've been praying for a long time. I've been praying for some of them for a long time. And sometimes the devil says this, there's no hope. There's no hope. There was hope for Terry, Brother Walter. He went a long time, but there's hope for him. God saved him, made a new creature out of him. And my, some of you was hopeless, but God stepped in and moved and shined His face on you and changed you in that hopeless situation God gave victory over. And my, I'm just saying to you today, it's dark. If you listen to the critics and the speculators, there's no hope. And you hear all the negative, and I've heard it 100 times, we can't have revival. I'm like Brother Frazier, that may be so, but with that attitude, I'm sure we can't have revival. And can I just say this? You can have as much God as you want. That's right. God wants all of you, and He'll give you all of Him if you want it. If you're willing to pay the price for it. My, here's what He said. If you'll move, shepherd, old shepherd of Israel, if you'll move, if you'll turn us, if you'll change us, if you'll do a work, He didn't say, if you'll move on the enemy. He didn't say, if you'll do this or you'll do that. He said, hey, do a work on us. Change us. Change our direction. And shine. Cause thy face to shine. Lead us. Other words. And He says, He didn't say we might be. We could be. Possibility will be. Here's what He said. And we shall. Be saved. We shall be saved. What situation are you in tonight? I don't know. I don't know. He says it again. He'll talk a little bit longer. And He keeps coming back because He knows this is the key. Verse 7. Let me just read them to you again. Verse 7. Turn us again, O God. That's the burden of his heart. He just knows if God can do what He done down in Egypt, there's hope for him in a hopeless situation. Turn us again, O God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine. We shall be saved. And then he talks some more about the more and the vine, how it's destroyed, how it was God that planted. My, there's some great lessons there. But then in verse 19, he says this, for the third time, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Turn us again. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. And my, you know, we think about things sometimes in the wrong light, but if we could just get God to turn us, if we can just get God's presence and Him shining upon us, can I tell you, we're going to be all right. I believe that with all my heart, church. I believe that. You know what I'm doing? I'm just waiting on God. I'm sitting right here in this church waiting on God to move. And I may die waiting on God to move, but I've got faith God's going to move on our lost loved ones. I believe that. I believe these children that's in this church, God's going to move on when they reach age of accountability and God's going to save them. I could twist and talk and get professions and I could do what a lot of folks do, but I'm telling you, I'm just going to preach the Word of God and I'm waiting on God to show up and do a work in our midst. That personal work Brother Ronnie was talking about. That's what we need. I could go around. I know most of y'all's lost loved ones. I told you I start in this corner and work up here and go back this way. Those of you that's heard me pray, you know, for the church, you know that's the way I go. And I can tell you who your lost loved ones are. I'm waiting on God, Steve. I'm waiting on God to touch your father-in-law, mother-in-law, Mike and Caleb. See, I know the name. I'm waiting on God. I'm waiting on God to touch Shelly. I don't know. She may be saved. I don't know what she needs, Brother Miller, but I know she needs God. And I'm waiting on God. I'm going to let God take care of it. And God will. If we'll trust and call and stay in the prayer closet till God, till we get through to God, I'm telling you, if the shepherd hears, he'll answer. What it says, Brother Bud? Waiting on God to get a hold of Abby and Emma and Tim. Yes, waiting on Him. That's right. You're looking at the man that's waiting. I'm just waiting. You had to wait a long time on Papaw, didn't you, Brother Jeremy? But God got a hold of him, didn't He? Well, hallelujah. Brother Bud, your mother died still waiting. But God got you. That's right. And if I don't see it, I'm still waiting on Him. I'm waiting on the shepherd that's overseeing us and taking care of us and providing for us and will lead us and guide us. I'm just waiting on Him to take the hopeless and do the impossible with Him. I'm waiting on Him. It may just be this week. It might be. Well, you say, what if it's not this week? It may just be the next week, Brother Bud. Well, what if it's not this year? It may just be next year. You say, what if it's not in this lifetime? It may be after I'm gone. But I'm still waiting on God. I'm waiting on the great shepherd that loves me and cares for me. I'm waiting on Him to do the impossible. Amen. Well, you just do what you want, but I'm waiting on Him. That's right. Well, that's my little thought. I've been way too long this evening. I know that. Probably wore you out. But I'm going to tell you, it's not impossible. That's right. Your loved ones are not impossibility. We're not in impossible times. Because we've got a great shepherd that has all power. Heaven and earth. That is what the Bible says. Why, He can start working on hearts. He may even be working on them right now. You don't know what He's doing. He don't check in with us to get our approval. He just does what God needs to do. And we just have to trust Him. I'm waiting on Him. I'm waiting on Him. My prayer is this. Turn us again, O God. Turn us again, O God, and cause Thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Let's bow our heads this evening. We'll have a verse of invitation before we go tonight. I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know much what to do. But maybe God spoke to your heart. Maybe God's dealing with you. Maybe you're going through the darkest time of your life. I don't know. But let God help you. Let Him help you. Cast your burden on the Lord. Take your burden to the Lord. Leave it there. The old song says, why don't you Why don't you just do that tonight? Sing, Brother Bud, when you get ready. God spoke to your heart. Be obedient to the Spirit of God.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.